After during the message, I touched a little bit on our history and also how we need to be moving forward as a church. And I hope the passage that we're going to use will also help us to realize, as a Christian, we can move forward in our Christian life spiritually as well. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 57, and 58, which is our text. And let's stand as we read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58. Let's stand as we just read the two verses. It's a theme for our anniversary, but it's also text for our message today. Okay, let's read the two verses together. Ready? One, two, begin. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us in this manner. Thank you for your grace that you have given to us all these years. Thank you for the beloved brethren who have been faithful despite the conflicts and despite also in the midst of all the blessings you've given to us. Thank you that you have kept us strong thus far. And Lord, thank you for this place. Lord, it is not our work, is your grace. All the provisions that we have to get this place is all from you. Father, there's nothing in us, Lord, that we can ever do or have that can secure a blessing like this. But we know, Lord, you gave us this place for a purpose. And Father, we pray today you encourage all of us to reflect on that purpose, Lord, that you have for us. Lord, for all our visitors and friends, I pray for a deep blessing in their hearts from the Word of God today. That, Lord, if they are Christians, you'll challenge them to know that there is victory. But, Lord, it requires our effort, Lord, to follow you. And for us as church members, to remember, Father, that you put us together for a reason. That, Lord, we are to put aside what we think is right, what you want us to do. Lord, it's not what I want, it's not what it's not what anyone wants, what you need to do through our lives. So, Father, thank you. I pray for those who are still on their way. I ask you to help them to find a place. I pray that your blessings will be on us and especially on your word. And God, I commit this hour into your hands. You speak to us in a special way. Bless every family, every Christian through the word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in your Bible knowledge, you will know that it is a chapter on the resurrection. Okay? I'll begin by saying that Apostle Paul have to explain the resurrection to the Corinthian church. Why? Because the doctrine of the resurrection of Christ has been attacked. It was attacked in the Corinthian church. Okay? The resurrection of Christ is the cornerstone of Christianity. The resurrection of Christ is the cornerstone of Christianity. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. And so for us, we need to be very clear on that. The Corinthian church was shaken because someone in the Corinthian church said there is no resurrection. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 15, 12, for some of you, it's actually in the printed page in your bulletin. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? Why are some of you saying that there is no resurrection? It's kind of like when the pastor preaches and then in the congregation, people in the congregation said, no such thing. All right? And when Paul preached there was a resurrection, some people in the congregation said, there's no such thing. Application for us today in the modern church, today there are many false teachings that are prevailing in the churches and in Christianity. Alright, the prosperity gospel is one whereby they believe very much that Paul was very rich. I heard one story, Paul was very rich because he owned a boat. And say, where in the Bible do you see Paul owning a boat? Well, she got shipwrecked, didn't he? Does that mean that he had the boat? No, he was shipwrecked. Actually, he was on his way to see the Roman emperor because he wanted to appeal to Caesar. Okay, and many people say Jesus was very, very rich because he had a treasurer. Who was the treasurer? It was Judas Iscariot. Now, was Jesus very rich? Think about that. The Bible says 2 Corinthians chapter 8, for our sakes he became poor. We need to be very clear on that. There are many false teachings that are prevailing in the church, and many Christians are flocking to churches, or so-called professing Christians flocking to churches, who believe that you give, well, God will give you a bit more, or God will give you much more. Please remember, Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. He didn't even have a place to sleep, all right? So, there are many gospels going out there. There are many worldly philosophies. YOLO, Y-O-L-O. How many of you know that? I only learned it when my children taught me that. YOLO is YOLO. You only live once. So, do what you want now. Right? Wrong. That's the youth philosophy. You only live once. Let's just live it up and just enjoy yourself. Why are you so uptight about that? Worldly philosophies coming into the church. Different types of things coming in as well. There are influences from outside. Families in the church are being attacked from outside with different influences. But you know, the problem that the Corinthian church had was not from the outside. It was from the inside. I'm not saying we have problems inside, right? I'm saying that in the Corinthian church, the problems were from the outside because of all the immorality in the Corinth city. But here, Paul actually says, how say some among you that there is no resurrection? Paul is actually indicating the fight is not just from the outside, it's also from the inside. Today is our 8th anniversary. Let's go through a bit of history. We were sent out by Maranatha Baptist Church. That was in 2003, September the 16th. I still remember the first. Who was there in the time we start the first service? Sister Wei Chen, my wife. Who else? Esther Joy wasn't there. Not yet. Anyone else? Okay, just okay, when we first started, the first message we preached. Can you remember the first message I preached? Probably can't. I preached on hell. Luke 16. Okay? And because the purpose of the church is to rescue people from the depths of hell. Alright? Just to remind us from that. We were sent out by NBC. We were in submission to them because they supported us. Okay, we believe there needs to be an orderly way of doing things. So Maranatha Baptist Church in Bishan today sent us out because there was a gap in Sembawang area. So one of our desire is from here to set up a Christian base, a church, so that we can actually send missions into Malaysia. All right, that's the vision, and it's still the vision. We were in submission to them, they supported us, but as we grew, we became self-supporting, self-governing, and self-propagating. These are the three principles for an independent church. Self-supporting, self-governing, and self-propagating. That means you evangelize, okay? So in 2009, we became an independent Baptist church, okay? So Maranatha Baptist Church voted to release us, and we became an independent Baptist church, okay? Under the headship of Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Pastor Johnny is not the head of the church. The Lord Jesus is, okay? I'm just the under-shepherd. I'm supposed to take instructions from him. The journey of Ambassador Baptist Church is a blessed one. We have the blessing of the Lord Jesus on every task that we take. And in fact, many times when we had meetings, we had new people coming. There was one time in our church, we didn't have any new people coming. From 2008, I still remember at that time I was agonizing and shared with some of the brethren and said, look, this cannot happen. We cannot have no people coming. And we started to pray in 2008. You know that from then on up to today, we still have visitors coming to Ambassador Baptist Church. God is blessing us. We saw young ones growing. Our children all grew up in the church. Some of you grew up in the church. Okay, some of you were very young when you joined the church. Right now, you're members and you're serving in the church. It's a blessing. Some of the people who were there at the first is still here, and some even went on mission trips for a long time. Sister Isabella was one of our starting members there. Last time when we started, we only had Sunday school. We only had 3 children. They're all my children. And guess who was the Sunday school teacher? My wife. All right? After, thank God, Sister Isabella came, and then there was, I think, 1 or 2 sisters from Maranatha Baptist came to actually just support the effort there to Sunday school. And after that, Brother Chai Hing came. And then Brother Chai Hing was there. Brother Chai Hing is right there. Okay. I still remember the first anniversary, he said he didn't like children. But now he has 3. After that, he said he loved children. So we thank God for his faithfulness. And his wife, Felicia, they got married. All right. They weren't married when they started the church. Now they are. and their children and their serving. We thank God for that. Over the years, God saw fit to grow our church in numbers, in service, and God was good. And God is still good. In Mark chapter 16, verse 20, the Bible says, one of the verses I hold dear to my heart as a founding pastor, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the work with signs following. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Mark, Jesus, after he went back to heaven, continued to work. What does that tell us? When after Jesus' resurrection, he went back, he's supposed to be seated on the right hand of the throne of God, yes? But the Bible teaches us that he is still working with us. The Lord Jesus from heaven is still working with his disciples to reach out to the many people that still needs to be reached out to. And you know what he does? He's not going to reach out to them. He's confirming them with signs following. Okay, what kind of signs? You know one of the signs is here. Right now, this place is a sign that the Lord has favor on us. One of the signs that we are seeing is that 2% trusted Christ last week. And dear friends, we're not looking at signs and wonders because, can I say this? Just because you see miracles doesn't mean you'll come to Christ. You know how I know? In the Bible, the Pharisees saw Jesus raise people from the dead and they refused to believe. So if you will think of if you believe that, oh, just because someone will see someone physically healed, he will believe, think again. Because the Bible did not say that faith is not based on sight, faith is based on the Word of God. We have to be very clear on that. But you know, the signs that I see, and I hope you can see too, is change lives. Change lives. Children who were disobedient becomes obedient. Families who were broken becomes put together. Husband and wives who cannot stand one another begin to stand one another. Anger that is overwhelming becomes you get more self-control. Those are the signs we're looking for. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You will overcome. If the Christian say, no, that's not my lifestyle, then you need to reconsider whether that's a Christian lifestyle. What does what you believe compare with what Jesus believes? And that's an important thing. And so the signs following, we grew numerically. We started with 8. And the Lord was pleased to add to our church. And also in the Christians growing in Christ. You know, through the years, with all growth, there is also struggles. Okay, there are struggles. There was concern over the place. As a pastor, we were in Christ Church first, then we moved to a different place, and we were struggling because we didn't know where to have our church. Okay, there were concern over plans for the church. There were concern over souls. I still remember the first time when there was struggle over ways of doing things or doctrine, and we have to be quite firm to put our foot down on what the Bible says. There were struggles, there were conflicts, and there was pain. We've had to deal with sin as a church. That's painful. Dealing with sin is always painful. But we have had to deal with sin, and we will continue to deal with sin because our God is holy, and any church that doesn't deal with sin is not God's church. I say again, God is holy. And if any church that doesn't deal with sin, it's not God's church. It doesn't reflect his character. And yet God is still compassionate. God is still reaching out. And that's why when we believe very much a person is struggling with sin, we compassionately walk with the person. But when a person holds on to sin, we've got to show them what God says and deal with that sin. We have to deal with sin and trials that beset us. And there are some tasks that as a church we undertook, we failed. We were supposed to move in 3 years ago, to another place. We failed. I mean, logically, we were hyped up. After a while, members perhaps got disillusioned. These are trials that as a church we will face. But it's interesting that God chose this time for us to come in. I want us to think about that for a while. Your timing is not God's timing. But when God moves, we better be moving. Amen? And for God to bring us here, God has had to prepare certain things. You know, we've had our failures. Let me ask you, do you know why we're still here? Why as a church we're still here? In Matthew 16, 18, I'll give you the reason why. Because Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church that honestly, sincerely, knowing their weaknesses and limitations, still say, God, we trust you. We trust your word. We will stand squarely on what you say. The church that stands on Jesus' words will have Jesus' protection. You know, God didn't promise that just because you have a nice family, you're not going to go through trials, yes? In the same way, just because we have a nice place as a church doesn't mean we're not going to go through trials. But Jesus did say, if you will stand on the foundation of my word, you will prevail against. The gates of hell will not prevail against you, okay? Because this church is of the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as we are standing on this word firmly, we cannot lose. We cannot lose the war. We may lose some battles, but we won't lose the war. We will continue to fight. As long as there are Christians among us right now who says, Lord Jesus Christ, I know I fail, but I know you're still in charge. I'm going to stand on your side. I know I may have fallen and sprained my ankle as a Christian. I may have hurt myself, but I say, Lord, because you are in charge, I'm still going to follow you. You are going to stand. All right? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? I want us to understand this as we think through. But thanks be to God, in 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we had blessings, but we have conflicts. I would like to say spiritually there's a fight. There's a fight that's always raging. And sometimes we don't even know there's a fight, but there is a fight. There is a fight that will continuously be a fight. And as long as Ambassador Baptist Church is around, there will always be a fight. Because you see, in this world, there are two spiritual forces. The forces of God and the forces of the evil one. Every family will face these two forces. Every church will face these two forces. Every Christian will face these two forces. Every non-Christian will face these two forces. Why? Because if you're a non-believer, you are on the side of the devil. The Bible says in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil. That's what the Bible says. You need to be converted. You need to change sides. All right? You need to change sides. We'll talk about that as we go along. But this is not a fight for money or career, but it's a fight for righteousness, a fight for God's glory, a fight for men's souls, a fight to keep our families intact. A fight to keep our families intact. You know, that's a burden on my heart. We may have the truth as a Christian, but our families intact. Think about that for a while. You know how Satan attacks the family so much? You know, this is a fight. It's always a fight. In the middle of the night, sometimes I will get phone calls, Pastor, can you come over? I had one many, many years ago. I think I shared before. The wife wanted to commit suicide. And I reached there, the civil defense was there. And all that kind of thing, you know. They're not members of our church. Dad was a non-Christian. Mom is a non-Christian as well. But they know us. Their daughter comes to our youth when I was involved in the youth at that time. Well, how many of you would actually agree that our families are in trouble in Singapore? One out of three face divorce. Okay, in Singapore, 27,000, 9,000 end up in divorce every year. But don't tell me that we are one people, one nation, one Singapore. We celebrate, but you know the problems we have. There's a fight for our families, a fight for purity. A fight for purity. How many of our young girls or young boys are being sucked into this whole gender thing and all this immorality thing? There's a fight for unity in our church through love and the word of God. For Ambassador Baptist Church to grow right, we need to put in our effort and zeal in the fight. You know why? There is no victory without a fight. I say again, there is no victory without a fight. If you find that you don't have to fight anything, you will not get any victory. There are many Christians who just choose to just go on in their lives. So hopefully, no problems I will face. Hopefully, I'm okay with everything. I don't want to have any problems and conflicts. I don't like any conflicts. I avoid conflict. You know, this conflict avoidance is one of Satan's strategies to keep you where you are. As long as I don't get a fight, I'm happy. But of course, you need to be fighting for the right thing. Amen. Don't be fighting for the wrong thing. Well, you need to be fighting for God's glory. You need to be fighting for the unity of your family. You need to be showing love in your family so that the other person will understand, hey, it's not about me, it's about each other. There's a fight. There is no victory without a fight. And today, how do we live so that in Ambassador Baptist Church and ourselves, we can have victory in our church and in our own life? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 58, after Paul says, thanks to God for the victory, he uses a therefore. He uses a therefore. The word therefore is placed there so that we can reflect on what Paul talks about before. Okay? And so, he says that, look, there are multiple problems in the Corinthian church. There are people attacking the church, attacking the doctrine of the church, not understanding it. But thank God that you will have the resurrection. By the way, Jesus is coming again. He is coming soon. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that he will become. Behold, I show you a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. We shall not all be asleep. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's the rapture. Every Christian that is saved by the blood of Christ will be in the rapture. All right? And I'm hoping that Christ will come in the next 10 years because I'm getting old. My knees are getting hurt, hurting more. I pray that Jesus comes and takes me home. I don't have to go through the more older years. But Jesus is coming soon. You know, as a result of the victory, what does Paul say? Therefore, I want to give us four principles as a church we need to take note of. As a Christian, we need to take note of. So that we can have the victory. Number one, be ye steadfast. That's what Paul says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, he's speaking to Christians. If you are a Christian, this is for you. If you are not a Christian, you need to be converted. I can tell you the world wants you. He wants to destroy you if he can. But for Christians, be ye steadfast. Point number one, stand fast in your faith. Stand fast in your faith. The word steadfast means to be sitting on a place and refusing to be moved. Sitting on a place and refusing to be moved. It literally means to be staunch. You know what staunch? How many of you have used this? Oh, he's a very staunch, whatever faith he is in. He's a very staunch Christian. He's a very staunch Muslim, or for example, he's very staunch. The word steadfast means to be staunch. In other words, I'm sitting at the place and I refuse to be moved. And the word staunch, also, the word steadfast also have the meaning of being committed. You know, Christians, number one, you need to be committed to your faith. You need to be committed to your faith. Your faith in Christ needs to be the most important thing in your life. Let me ask you a question. I'll give you an illustration, okay? Let's say if you're a Christian, you have a career, you have a family, you have your money, you have everything else. What if something happens that will remove all these things from you? What else do you have? Do you know when people, this is a general trend in Christianity. Whenever we face problems in life, the first thing we throw out is church. Would you agree with me? The first thing you throw out is church. There were some Christians I spoke to and said, I'm not coming back already because I got this problem and that problem. Then my question to this person was, what did church do to you? What did church do to you? Isn't it interesting that the first thing that when trials come into our life, the first thing we throw out is Jesus Christ and what belongs to him? You know why? Every trial in your life, listen, has a spiritual dimension. Satan uses trials to dislodge you from your faith so that you will not find God's blessings on your life. Mark it down. The next time you face a trial, think of what you want to do. Think of what you want to do. You know, young people, you need to be steadfast right now and tell yourself, no matter what happens, Jesus Christ, it will be the center of my life. When I was a young person, I encourage you with this. At the age of 16, I became a Christian at the age of 12. at the age of 16, I made a decision. Every time the church doors are open, I will be there. Every time. Whether it's youth, whether it's Sunday school, whether it's service, whether it's whatever it is, I'm going to be there. Okay? And that's an important principle. You know why? Today, many people don't live by principles. They live by what they see and how they feel at the moment. Oh, I feel too tired, so I don't go. Oh, my friend called me. Hey, sorry, I have to change this appointment because I got something on. Let's be honest. You don't have something on. You choose something else above what God told you to do in the first place. Let's be honest with ourselves sometimes. You don't have something on. You enjoy this more than God's word. That's why you got something on. We need to be all honest with ourselves. But you know what? The way we are going to stand victorious as a Christian is to be committed and to be steadfast. In other words, you are not going to compromise your faith. When you have made a decision, you're sticking with it to follow Jesus Christ and what is important to Him. Now let me ask you, how steadfast is your faith? How steadfast is your faith? Will your job shake you? Will your retrenchment shake you? Will your health shake you? And because of your many Christians, unfortunately, you know, the measure of your steadfastness can be seen in how you respond to trials in your life. Do people shake your faith? Can I say one thing? I've learned one thing a long time ago. If people shake your faith is not in God. Your faith is in people. Yes? If your job will shake your faith is not in God. Your faith is in your job. If your money that you have or don't have shake your faith is not in God. Your faith is in money. Because you know what? A person who is steadfast with God, even if he's retrenched, you will find him in church to praise God. Because he has learned, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for him who is in Christ Jesus. Christians, we need to be steadfast. You know why you need to be steadfast? I guarantee you, if you don't decide to be steadfast, it is very easy for the Satan to knock you off. You just watch out for the next wave. But God wants us to be steadfast. You know, I was thinking through this. I said, Lord, how to bring it across that as Christians we need to be steadfast? Then I look at the scriptures. Jesus, Paul just says, be steadfast. It's a do-it-yourself project. God has done his part of securing our salvation. Do you know how much God has given us? He's given us our salvation, right? Has he given us other things? He's given us his word, right, to instruct us? Has he given us his Holy Spirit? Has he given us Christians around us to support us? Has he given us Bible apps that you can just download and read straight away? Have he given us promises? Have he given us good Christian friends that constantly message us? Have he given us a youth group? Have he given us Sunday school to instruct us? Now, why are we falling away? Because we choose to. God has given us all that we need to stand. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. According as his divine power has given us these divine promises so that we can stand. All right? So that we can stand in the life events. How steadfast is your faith? Proverbs, you know, you will not be steadfast. How do I become steadfast in my faith? You will not be steadfast if you do not invest anything in your faith. You will not be steadfast if you do not invest in your faith. What do I mean? You know, people who come to church, I told the youth yesterday, I challenged them to come for every youth fellowship. And I like what Brother Jacob was teaching them, because he's teaching on Mary and Martha. No, Martha was very busy, right? Remember the Mary Martha story? How many of you know the Mary Martha story? Jesus came, and Martha was wanting to make a very good impression, right? So make all the things and make sure, hey, after a while, he said, but Mary is just sitting down there listening to Jesus. And so Mary was just listening to what Jesus was saying, and she was very interested in what Jesus was saying. Then Martha thought, Jesus, can you tell Mary to come and help me? You know, he's just sitting there, and I'm doing all this work. What did Jesus say? Martha, Martha, you are cumbered about with many things. And I didn't hear it, but I heard it from my children when they were hearing. Brother Jacob made me a very interesting Martha was serving dinner. She wasn't serving Jesus. Hello? Why are you in church? Why are you in church? Are you attending church? Or are you coming to give your offerings to God? Very different. How you live this church is largely determined by what mindset you come in with. If you come in to learn, to grow, to deal with sin, to repent, and to turn back to God, you will go out a stronger Christian. If you come in with no mindset whatsoever, I'm just there, you will go out the same way. That's why there are many Christians, year after year after year after year after year, there is no change in their life. Their attitudes remain the same over the years. Why? They have never made a decision for Jesus Christ. Are you steadfast in your faith? You need to invest in your faith. What do I need to do to be standing fast in my faith? You need to know what you believe. You need to know what you believe, number one, and you need to stand on what you believe. And you need to study the Bible in order to believe. You know why I have to say that? Many Christians don't read their Bibles anymore. They glance at their Bible, kind of like you look at a magazine. I was telling the young people, the reason why I told them to, look, don't be like Martha. Jesus was there and talking about the words of life. And what was Martha more interested in? Serving dinner. When you come to church, are you interested in listening to the Word of God or doing your Googling? Well, there are some Christians who come to church and Google about Bloomberg and Google about other things, and they do other things. So are you in church to hear God's Word? You can Google anytime. I told the youth, if you come, how many times do we have to study God's Word? Friday night prayer meeting, youth on Saturday, Sunday school, and Sunday service. There are four times. They come to church to hear God's Word, okay? That's the assumption they are reading their Bibles, okay? If they don't come for Friday night, 25% of God's Word is gone. If they don't come for Sunday school, 50% of God's Word is gone. If they don't come for youth, 75% of God's Word is gone. 1 week, they just receive 25% of preaching. Assuming they are reading their Bibles, that shouldn't be a problem, right? But if they don't read their Bibles, you know what they come to church and say? Being a Christian for what? You know? God doesn't teach me anything. That's why, because you're not here. That's because you're not here. That's because you're not here. You know, Joseph Schooling has broke more records after he won the Olympic gold medal. You know why? He was still committed to training. Yes? How committed you are to your Christian life? How steadfast are you in your faith? Number one. Joshua, in Joshua 24, verse 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Can I encourage you? Some of us may have health problems. Some of us may have other problems that I don't know. Don't let your problems become a hindrance to your faith. Because problems can. I mentioned this before. If you have a 5-cent coin, that's your problem. It remains a small problem unless you put it in your eye. And your 5-cent coins become all the problem that you face. I told my children yesterday, if God is going to give you a blessing, and let's say you love the blessing, but then there's one small thing at the side, don't focus on this and lose all the blessing. All right? By the way, how many of you don't have problems in life? Put up your hand. Huh? You know why we are Christians? Because we believe Jesus Christ will save our souls from hell and from sin. But we also believe our Lord will lead us through our life. Amen? That's why you're a Christian. Why don't you go to Him for help? But you need to be steadfast. You need to believe in what He says. Point number two, be steadfast. Number two, be unmovable. Unmovable in your faith. Be unmovable in your faith. There are three thoughts in this phrase. The Greek word for movable has three persuasions, okay? Number one, it means that a faith that is not disorderly. Interesting, it's disorderly. That means that it is a persuaded faith. You have spent time reading, you have spent time studying the Bible, and to you, you are very clear, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God is only one God. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. Are there some churches who don't believe in the Trinity? They only believe in one God. All right, there's some so-called Christian churches, but they don't believe in the Trinity. That's a cult. That's not a Christian church. All right, the Bible teaches Trinity very clearly. You're very clear that Jesus will always help you through your problems, and therefore you can turn to Him. Okay? It's a persuaded faith, number one. Number two, it is a permanent faith. In other words, there is no change of status. It's interesting, if you read the Greek meaning of the word unmovable means no change of status. How many of you use WhatsApp and sometimes you change your status? Busy, in a meeting, please don't call me, or something like that. I know got busy in a meeting, yes. Call you back later or something. That's change of status, right? You know, as a Christian, it's always, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I give you a illustration from history. There was one man, his name is Andronicus. Andronicus was a Christian. One day he was captured by the Romans, and he was going to be persecuted. They say, either you deny your faith or we'll kill you. You know, he said, do your worst. Do your worst. I'm a Christian. And with Christ helping me, I will not change my status. The last part is I add. He says, I'm a Christian. The wild beasts and his life is not important to him. I'm a Christian. He was unmovable. There was no change of status. Christians, do your status change when you're in school? Many people feel holy in church because they dress nicely, right? You know, I've seen Christians who dress one way in church, and once they leave church, they change to be like the world. Are you a Christian? You've changed your status. Oh, Christian life is only good in church. No, it's not. If Christian life is only good in church, then you need to change your God, because that's not the Jesus I know. Because I see Jesus influencing the marketplace, if you want to use the contemporary term. I see Jesus influencing the prostitutes. I see Jesus influencing tax collectors. I see Jesus standing up and helping a widow who's lost a son. I see Jesus' faith, not just in the synagogue. I see Jesus' faith everywhere. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 32, our Lord went about everywhere doing good. If your faith only helps you in church, you need to examine your faith. It may not be a Christian faith. It may be a religion. Does that make sense? If your faith doesn't change you, it's time to change your faith. I say again, if your faith doesn't change you, it's time to change your faith. And I'm serious about that. Today, there are many Christians who say they are Christians, but there's nothing in their life that smells of a Christian life. And I want to challenge us on that. We need to be unmovable. It is a no-change status persuasion. A faith that says, no change. I will not change my status. I'm a Christian. Sister Isabella messaged me. Some of you know her. She's actually in Nepal. And recently, she started going to the villages. And before that, she was sharing with us how there was one prayer meeting. A teenager, 14 years old, trusted Christ, I believe. During the prayer meeting, the mother and the uncle in Nepal came to the prayer meeting, pulled the girl out, and beat her in front of all the Christians. The pastor says, don't interfere, because otherwise, more problems there will be. But you know what? Sister Isabella is growing in the faith because she's seeing Christians suffering for their faith. But you know the challenging thing for her? This Christian keeps coming back. You know why? I'm a Christian. No change in my status. Recently, I think I shared, Isabella was sharing, I think it's Pastor Dipendra, is it? The sister? Is it sister or the cousin? I'm not too sure, and the niece. In the village, he was ministering in Kathmandu, which is actually the capital. And he found out that, I think it was a sister or the niece, was killed because she trusted Christ. The village. no change in status. What if it comes to Singapore? What if the Singapore government tells us today, you can only attend a church that will not preach the Bible? Would you still be here? Think about that for a while. And by the way, don't think it's too far-fetched. With all the problems you're having in this world, in the name of trying to manage and control the religions of this world, especially with all that's happening in the world, I think you know what I'm talking about. Do you realize that in a particular faith, you know what I'm talking about, I wouldn't mention that name, the religious leaders have to submit their sermons for vetting. What if we come to that stage? What if it comes to the stage where there are spies, I'm not saying you're spies, in the church, to make sure that the pastor is in line with government policies? Would you still be here? There are Christians dying to go to church. And in Singapore, Christians choose whether or not they want to be in church. That's why Paul says we need to be unmovable. Is there a change in your status because of the environment? Is there a change in your status because of your economic constraints? Is there a change in your status because you feel you can't make the $1,000? Is there a change in your status because you don't have the certificate? I wish to God that there will be no change of status. You know why? Otherwise, we will never be strong. If Satan knows what can move you, he will use it. That's why Paul says we need to be unmovable. There is a persuaded faith, there's a permanent faith, and then there's a consistent faith. Because the meaning of unmovable means it is permanently fixed all the time. Kind of like, you know the coconut tree? You know the coconut tree, when the wind blows, what happens? Well, you know what? It's always there. It's not going to move. Yeah, some coconuts may drop, the leaf may fall off, but the coconut tree is still there. You know, a coconut tree is not something very pleasant to look upon sometimes. But you know how much uses? You know the broom we have, the brown, it's made from coconut. Do you know that? You know, whole Hainan Island, a coconut, you can even carve monkeys, with the coconut. There's many uses for coconut. Now coconut oil is supposed to be good. But you know what? Coconut is unmovable. Christians, are you unmovable? You know, for Ambassador Baptist Church to be strong, we need to be unmovable. In other words, you need to know what you believe and stand for what you believe. In other words, you may be sick, but you say, I'll still serve God. Well, Brother Johnny, you're pushing it. The Lord Jesus Christ was dying on the way to Calvary. The night he was betrayed, he didn't have rest. The whole night he was under trial. He was spit upon. He was beaten. He was not given water. He was not given food. He was insulted. He was punched. He bled like crazy because of the scourging. The crown of thorns was on his head. And as he walked through, do you realize Jesus, you know, some churches say he carried the cross to Calvary. Jesus could not carry the cross to Calvary. He was too weak. Someone else had to carry. The father of Alexander Rufus, Alexander came, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander Rufus carried the cross for Jesus Christ. You know, all along, Jesus had no change of status. At the cross, he was told by the people, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Jesus, the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe him. You know what? Jesus still said, hang on the cross. You know why? No change of status. I'm your Savior. I'm not going to go down. You know, Jesus could have come down from the cross, but there was no change in his status. You know why? For you. Christians, listen. Ambassador Baptist Church, if we're not going to be unmovable, someone else may go to hell because of us. Think about that for a while. Fathers, if you're not going to walk with Jesus Christ today, 10 years from now, you may have a problem in your hands that is so big that you will regret not walking with Jesus Christ today. And dear friends, over the last 15 years of ministry, I've seen that happening again and again. If you will not be steadfast with Christ now, and if you are the permissive sort, just let your child do what you want, 10 years from now, Dad, you didn't control me when I was young. Why are you controlling me now? I don't want your faith. I don't want your God. I prefer Instagram. I prefer all the things that Instagram teaches you. Is your faith consistent? I want to challenge you. Aren't you tired of a life of defeat? Aren't you tired of defeat? Don't you want to be victorious? There is no victory without a fight. In other words, you got to fight yourself first. You got to fight your laziness. You got to fight your selfishness. You got to fight your pride. You got to fight it and say, no, the Lord Jesus promises victory to the humble. The Lord Jesus promises victory for those who will surrender. The Lord promises victory to those who will put their faith in Him rather than in the philosophies of this world. The Lord Jesus promises victory to those who are willing to be poor in spirit, that will not depend on the bank account, that will not depend on friends, but will depend 100% on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus gives victory for those who are willing to put aside what we think is important and put in what God thinks is important. We need to have biblical convictions like I talked about last week. But you know, how are we supposed to make our faith unmovable? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, the Bible says, if any man hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a man that built his house upon a rock. When Jesus, the house there represents life. And when Jesus taught Matthew 5, 6, and 7, He was teaching the Sermon on the Mount. And within those sermons, He gave a lot of biblical, heavenly, scriptural, divine principles that if you will live by those principles, Jesus says, if you will hear these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house on a rock. Do you want your life to be built on a rock? You have a choice. Build a life on a rock, or build your life on sand. If you build on the rock, it will stand. If you build on sand, when the waves come, when the winds come, when the floods come, it will topple down. I'm praying that when I die, my children will all serve God. Are you praying the same thing? Not have a good career. Careers come and go. Money you can earn. Family you can't win back. And dear friends, it's not wanting a nice family. It's wanting a godly family. A family that will love Jesus Christ. Because I can tell you, there is nothing more stable than our Lord. Amen? There's nothing more stable than our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have an unmovable faith. And then in the third point, and then always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The word always means at all times. At all times. Abounding means overflowing in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord, in Paul's mind, was one thing, preaching the gospel. That was Paul's preoccupation. Now, I'm not saying that there are not other things related. For example, one of the things, Filipino brethren, please take note, we're going to be shipping some Bibles to a new mission. We've shipped the Bibles before. Okay, I think Brother Aldrin yesterday was here. We kind of talk about, I think you have this Jollibee or Balik Bayan or something book box. There are some of our Bibles and some of the VBS t-shirts that we can actually send over to some of the poorer villages. Okay, so please take note of that. Okay, it's a win-win for us. We ship it to a mission that needs it. His brother, Tern Vidal, some of you may know him. He started Open Doors Baptist Church in one of the provinces, Bulacan area, right? Yeah. And he was actually telling me, I messaged him, and brother, do you think I can send some Bibles? And he said the night before he was praying for Bibles because some of his new missions can't afford Bibles. And so we have some, we're going to send it to them. That's part of, if you give your money to the, you're not giving money to the church. You're giving money to God. And as a church, we manage it to send things out so that other people can know God. Does that make sense? Okay? It's not to prosper the pastor. Okay? If you come for our meeting, you know how much the pastor makes. Okay? But having said that, I'm thankful for the faithful giving of the church members, and also God has provided all our needs. So there's no worry about that. But money is not to make us rich. You know why? There are three purposes for money. You know the three purposes of money in the Bible? Number one, to give to God's work. Number two, to take care of your family. Number three, to help the poor. I say, get anything extra, you can go for holiday. But you make sure you fulfill these three first. Give to God's work, Take care of your family and help the poor. And anything extra, you buy the LCD you want. Because God doesn't want us to be poor in the sense of God will provide all our needs, but if we hang on to money like it's our God, that's a different thing, okay? Now, coming back to this, we need to be always involved in God's work. God's work involved in reaching out. God's work involved in fathers teaching your children the Word of God. That's part of God's work. Telling someone about Christ. Being kind to someone else. Was Jesus kind to people when he was on earth? Sure he was. That's part of God's work. With the intention that this person will see Jesus. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God, which is in heaven. Thus, our behavior in our school and our workplace reflect Christ. And thus, our colleagues see Jesus when we talk to them, when we do our work with them. Do our clients or whoever that we work with see Jesus in our life? You know, for those who may do sales, you know what you can do every time you say, no, I'm a Christian, just come visit our church sometimes, you know. And perhaps the person's, it's interesting, the moment you're willing to open your mouth about Christ, you'll be surprised that they may come and ask you some questions. Are you involved in the work of God? You know, there comes a time, an ambassador, many churches in Singapore, they don't believe in outreach and soul winning anymore. They don't go for attracting anymore. I still find it in the Bible, Matthew chapter 10, Luke chapter 9. It's still there. Where they go door to door, they share the word. We need to be involved in God's work. There are two thoughts in involving God's work. The word abounding means the work that we're involved in needs to get bigger. Needs to get bigger. There is no pride in saying, oh, I'm thankful that our church is so small over 20 years. There's no pride in that. You know why? It means someone's not doing their job. Can I say this? If you're working hard and you're not growing and you're not putting away some savings that will help you, you need to be careful. Unless you're really very poor, you're helping a lot. I'm saying in the natural situations, all things remain constant. If you work, you'll find yourself growing. Your CPF will grow at least. But if you're wasting it away, then there's something wrong. In all our ministry, whether personal or church, it needs to be growing. We cannot be status quo. Because the Lord Jesus Christ started with 12. It exploded to 50,000 by Acts 6. And today, it is worldwide. Because anything that started of God will continue. Because it is not man that continues God's work, it's God. But God uses us as instruments. I say again, Ambassador Baptist Church needs to be a holy instrument in the hands of God. And everyone that is a member of the church need to understand that God cannot use a blunt instrument. Our ministries needs to get bigger. Not because we want the numbers and fill up this place, but because there are a number of people out there who never know Jesus and will die and go to hell if we don't reach out to them. If I shared last week, if we break down this wall, there are flats across the road who will never know Jesus Christ unless someone goes and tell them. We need to be involved. We need to be involved in God's will. Our work here needs to get bigger. We mustn't get comfortable here. The church in Nepal don't have chairs. Number one. The church in Nepal don't have aircon. And the church in Nepal, when it's in the summer months, has a zinc roof. And temperatures go up. But you know what? The ministry of God is not dependent on this place. It's just that God gave us a big place. The ministry of God depends on His Holy Spirit and our involvement in it. Christians, there are some Christians who pray, I'll just pray for God to work. God will not move if you don't. I'm very convinced of that from Scripture. God will not move if you don't when it is within our power to do so. I'll give you an illustration. Remember Lazarus? Lazarus was dead. No one could raise him from the dead except Jesus Christ. Lazarus was buried in a tomb. It was a big stone. What did Jesus say when he came to the tomb? He told the people, take away the stone. Why? Because You may not be able to raise Lazarus from the dead, but you certainly can use your muscles and push away the stone. Take away the stone. And the moment the people obeyed Jesus, push away the stone, Jesus reached in and raised Lazarus from the dead. Your loved ones are not going to come to Jesus Christ if you're not going to make an effort to reach them. But Brother Johnny, they are hard as nails. Long pia. Bang my head against the wall every time I talk to them. You know what you're trusting in? Yourself. You're not trusting God. Because my Bible tells me that God can raise the dead. I hope your Bible says the same. Christians, that's where faith comes in. You do what you can. Say, God, there's nothing else I can do. That's when the God of heaven will come. My mom is here. Yeah, she may have a lot of physical problems. You know, she was the one who stopped me from going to church. 1981. Now she's here. You know what? It may be 27 years, 28 years. God's faithful, amen. Now we're praying for our in-laws. She came for the evangelistic meeting. Fathers and mothers, children, don't give up on your family. When there's life, there's still hope. But you need to be involved in the work. Because if your families don't see God's work important in your life, and then you try to tell them the gospel, you know what they'll tell you? 对你不重要吗? Not important to you, why are you telling me this? Think about that for a while. Be always involved in the work of God needs to get bigger, but interesting. Embedded in the Greek word abounding, the work of God needs to get better. It needs to improve. It needs to improve in the way we do it. It needs to improve in the attitudes we have about doing it. You know, we don't serve God for ourselves. I hope you understand that. My wife and I will die one day, and we'll go back to heaven and rest from our labors, and so will some of you. Ambassador Baptist Church needs to continue to grow. Because Ambassador Baptist Church is not dependent on me, it's dependent on God. It's just that I'm here for this time. Some of you young people will be growing up and say, Pastor Johnny, I believe God called me. You know, today, of every 500 people that leave the mission field, only one go back to the mission field. Young people, if you are only thinking about your life and what you want to do, you have a serious problem with your Christian life. Because it's all self-centered. I want you to think about that. But we need to be involved. Our work of God needs to get bigger. The work of God needs to get better. Last point. I think this is important. Paul says, be therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And we always preach, oh, there's going to be a reward at the end. Upon further study, Paul is not just saying that. There are two thoughts in this. Number one, your labor is not in vain in the Lord means there is always a purpose in what you do. You may not know the purpose. You may not see the purpose. You may think it's the most ridiculous thing pastor has ever thought. You may think, what in the world is a children's ministry thinking? Or you may think, why are we spending so much money to do God's work? Paul says, when you're willing to put faith in God's work, your work will not be in vain in the Lord. There was one man. He was asked to go to a lumberjack. Lumberjack, basically people who chop down trees. Okay? Now, this is an American illustration, but it goes to serve the point. There was one person who was invited to preach to a group of lumberjacks. Okay? Guess what? When he was there, he prepared his message, he prayed, he go there. Guess what? There was no one there. There was no one there. He said, why in the world? You asked me to come, but no one is here. But you know what? Never mind, I'm here since I'm here. I'll go ahead and preach anyway. And so what? He preached to an open jungle. 20 years later, someone came up to him. He said, you remember that day that you preached? No? Yeah, I'll never forget that. I preached to a ghost forest, you know, there's no one there. You know what he said? No, I was listening. What? Yeah, you didn't see me, but I was listening. And what you said touched me and trusted Christ. There was another man, he's still alive today, I believe. I shared this before, he's such a touching one. There was one man in Australia, I believe in Melbourne or Sydney, I don't know. Every day without fail for 40 years, he would stand at a road corner and give a tract and say, "Sir, if you die right now, would you be sure you'll be in heaven?" Many people will shun him. Many people will hate him. Many people will, get lost, and old man, and all that. For 40 years, he faithfully did that. There was a conference that a pastor was at, and as a pastor was talking about this man, say, "Hey, I remember there was this man in this place." And then he began to ask the other pastor, "Did you talk about that?" "Yeah, it was the same." And they was wondering whether he was the same man. And so then they realized there was another man who would say, "Yeah, I was in Sydney." He was a sailor. He was there at Sydney. I can't remember what place in Australia. But then he said, there's this man. He's just there. He's so irritating. But you know what? He gave me a track and I trusted Christ. And they begin to do a research into this man. And guess what? They found him. And this pastor, when he found him, he was so touched. But this man said one thing. He was too sick after 40 years there. He was too sick. He was quite an old man, about 80s. He couldn't go anymore. But when the pastor came, "Sir, you don't know what impact you had on the life of literally thousands of people when you did that." And when he was told story after story about how many people trusted Christ because of what he did for the 40 years, he cried. You know why? He said, "This is the first time someone has told me that my effort was worth it." Pastor Johnson in Australia, I think I shared before, he went to Australia because he wanted to be a pastor to the convicts. Australia is convict country, right? For those in England, they will send the convicts to exile them to Australia. Pastor Johnson, if you Google, went there to be their pastor. I heard the testimony. He lost his wife where he was there. He built houses with cabbage leaves, I think the type that they find in Australia. He would give a Bible to someone there, and they would tell the Bible. Or he would sell they would sell the Bible so they can get a drink. Or they use the paper in the Bible for fuel. The governor of the land promised a chapel, but later on went back on his promise. His church, no more than 20 for his lifetime that he was there, often met on the beach. But Pastor Linden said, "God's will for me is to preach to all and to pray for all and to be faithful." Today, Pastor Johnson, although he had not many converts, Australia remembers him as someone who loved Christ. You can Google it in Wikipedia if you like. There is always a purpose. We may not understand why we're here at this time, but I know God has a purpose. As a pastor, our goal is discipleship from this time forth. We're not going to play games with excuses anymore. I know there are many things in our lives that will come, but does what we believe measure up to what Jesus says? If we are a Christian, then let's live as a Christian. Let's not give excuses. Let's put away reasons that we can give. You know, they say you put 5 Baptists together, you get 6 excuses. We're very good at explaining ourselves away. How about just obeying what God says? How about just obeying what God says? There's always a, you know why? Because when we're willing to obey, there's always a purpose. Because Paul says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When God sees our heart, that is aligned with our determination to just obey God, God always uses our work for him. Remember the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? That Philip said, "What is that among so many?" Jesus used one little boy's lunch to feed more than 10,000 people. "Brother Johnny, why do you say 10,000? I thought only 5,000. You know why? The Bible says there were 5,000 men. Assuming they had wives, that's 10,000, right? Assuming they have 2 children each, that's actually 20,000. Some of the young people say, "Brother Johnny, I can't do much." Yes, you can. You could sing. You can come for a prayer meeting. Do you realize the sincerity of a young child's prayer can actually save a family? If I'm not wrong, if I use Mr. T as an example, you know who brought the family to Christ? It was Ping Han or Benjamin, right? Mr. T is here today. Because Benjamin says, you need to be in church with me. And the mother got saved, the grandmother got saved, and bless God, Mr. T trusted Christ. Beginning of the year. Your labor is not in vain. Some of us are getting tired in serving God. When Jesus was never tired in loving you when he was at the cross. When he was at the cross, you know what? He said it was finished. You know why? Because I've done all I can to save you. Now it's for you to come. There's a purpose, but number two, there will be a reward. There is a reward. Sometimes we say, Brother Johnny, what's the use of serving God? I have heard this before from Christians. What's the point? The church is not growing. What? The church is full of problems. Which church don't have problems? But you know what? If God is a God of ambassador, we will always face problems because we have enemies. That's why there's a fight. But for a Christian to say, I will remain faithful to God and I will not back down. With you praying for me as pastor, with the determination and the support for my family, by God's grace, we'll serve God till the day I die. And I hope you will do the same. Because there is nothing more important than serving Jesus Christ in this life. Nothing more important. Do you think your money is important? Money will fly. Money will go. If you're in Marawi right now, you know all the banks will close down. Where are you going to get money? In Marawi. You're hiding for your lives. It could be that sometimes what we hold on to the most will be our downfall. Christians, we need to be involved in God's work. We need to be involved knowing that our labor is not even. Many Christians have said, what's the point of serving him? Look at all the problems. Maybe let's change our perspective. Let's stop looking at the problems. Let's start looking at Jesus Christ. When we came to this place, some people have said, this place is too big. We can't afford it. I say, let's go. I believe God has planned for us. We're here. And as a result, people trusted Christ. People are willing to come simply because you want to see God's blessings. Christians, as we close, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, let me just read. There was Jesus told the people a parable, if you will serve me, one day I will have to take an account of your life. And in Matthew 25, 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The Lord Jesus, I don't know about you. I hope this is your prayer. And that you go home and pray, Lord, there's only one thing I want to hear from you when I die and see you. Is that, Lord, you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. You were faithful despite the trials. You were faithful even when you were hungry. You were faithful even though there was no change of status when you see things happening around. Just because I don't get the certificate, just because I don't get the money, just because I don't get the status in life, just because I don't enjoy the pleasures of this world, forgetting in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the pleasures, Moses actually forsook Egypt and the pleasures of Egypt because it's pleasures for a season, for the sin is all the things that you enjoy is only temporary. If you're looking for pleasures in this life, I've got news for you, it's going to fade away. Do you believe that? There's an eternity. There is an eternal life we're living for. All about you, I'm thankful that all my children want to serve God in some capacity. They're not perfect. I believe some of your children want to serve God too. But you know what? Fathers and mothers, we've got to set the example. Young adults, on the 20th of August, we are going to have our first meeting. I pray that you make time to come. We're going to be discussing what God says and how does it align with your life and how are we going to live for Christ together. I know there are many struggles and challenges that you attend. It could be relationships, it could be money, it could be career, it could be whatever that you may face in your life. But we're going to look at what the Bible says because it's time to stop thinking and controlling your own life and hand it over to Christ. Okay, as we close, 4 points for us to be victorious. Be steadfast. How steadfast are you in your faith? Be unmovable. Are you unmovable when the trials come? Are you involved in God's work? Are you involved in God's work? You know, sometimes people when talk about God's word, it's, I have a very bitter aftertaste. I hope we will change our minds. I hope that the ministry of Christ is sweet to you. I hope that the labor, I don't know about you, but when I heard now Sister Moon trust Christ last week, I hope you had tears in your eyes of joy. There's someone in heaven, because someone was willing to spend time and prayer and money and time to open that heart. I'm thankful for another one who trusted Christ last week. If Ambassador Baptist Church stopped having souls coming to Christ, stopped having Christians growing in Christ, we're going to fail in our ministry. But we need to be firmly determined. Say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. We're going to be singing our closing hymn near the cross. You know, the only way we're going to be strong is to stay near the cross. In fact, stay under the foot of the cross. Let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Oh, Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. I know I've gone a bit of ways. I pray, Father, that as we celebrate our 8th anniversary, Lord, there's so many challenges. And Lord, firstly, we want to look at the blessings. There's so many blessings you've given to us. You've given the blessings of some of our beloved brethren who are still here, despite the conflicts, despite the fight. And Father, there are still things in their hearts. They know that, God, they're here still for a purpose. And Lord, we know that nothing we do is in vain. Thank you for the faithfulness. Father, I thank you for our visitors and friends who has been coming. Well, some of them have been coming for years. I'm thankful for the friendship that we have. But Lord, we don't just want friendship, but a Christian friendship. A friendship that can help each other grow in Christ and make each family strong. Lord, we're so thankful for the many supporters of the ministry, but I pray, Lord, they'll take a step of faith to be part of the ministry here. Father, there are going to be many challenges as a church we're going to face, but we thank you, Lord, that you have already given us a victory, and all we need to do is to follow you. For eyes closed, heads bowed, I'm just going to ask a question. If you are here today, you're a Christian, say, Pastor, pray for me. I know I need to be steadfast. I know I need to be unmovable. I need to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. And I want you to pray that I will be like that. I don't know how, but I'm going to trust God on that. Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. I see those hands. Amen. I see those hands. Put it up and put it down. And then pray in your heart and do business with God. I say, God, I'm just going to. Perhaps you may pray something like, I'm going to stop giving my excuses, I'm going to do my best. And I know my best is just as best as what God makes it, and I'm going to give my best to Him, just as the boy gave the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's the best he had. Is there someone else? Pastor, pray for me. All right, if you're here, you're not a Christian. I told you before. You don't have victory because you're not a Christian. Jesus has never given you the victory, but you need to convert. You need to come into His kingdom. Jesus Christ has already bought the victory for you. I say, Brother Johnny, I don't understand this, but I do want to find out more if you're a Christian. Is there someone like that? We won't force you. We won't ask you for money. We just want to share with you the gospel. Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. Get a brother or sister to share with you the gospel. Is there someone? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the Christians who have put up their hands. I don't know what's in their heart, but you do. Lord, I pray that each of them, Lord, will be steadfast. That, Lord, they will sit on their faith and refuse to be moved. And their husband and their wives and their children will see the love of Christ. And if they are a young adult in a family, that their faith will be clear as well to the people around, that they may see Christ in their lives. Lord, I pray they will be unmovable. That, Father, despite the things that are happening around them, there will be no change in their status. They will still be a Christian, whether it's 1 year or 10 years from now. They are not going to blame their unfaithfulness, Lord, on their job or their money, but they will come clean with you and they will be unmovable. They will change back their status to, I'm a Christian. I pray, Lord, that you help them to also You're always abounding in the work of the Lord. That the work for Christ will become bigger and the work of Christ will become better. Lord, we need your help on this. And we really need you to teach us to extend ourselves for your glory. And help us to also understand, Lord, that at the end of the day, that there's always a purpose and there's always a reward for those who would be involved in what you have. Time is short, Lord. I pray for this, my brethren, that you will strengthen them. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. As we sing a closing hymn near the cross, I pray, Lord, you anchor these thoughts in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.